Go ahead and open up with me in your Bible this morning, if you will, please, to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians in chapter 5. At first glance, it will seem that you're listening to the wrong message, but hang in with me. You are in for the right message for you today. But if we're not careful, we get caught up in dooming church, and we really stop being the church. You know, we go to church, but that's not really what it's about. We are the body of Christ. We are the church. This building isn't the church. Church buildings around town aren't the church. But we are the church, and church is supposed to be something that we do, not something that we attend. I need a lot better amen than that, okay? You're not sure yet, but you will be in just a moment. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife also, as also Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having any spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies, for he who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I'm speaking concerning Christ and the church." Again, let's pray. Father, I pray that you teach us what it means today to be the bride of Christ, your precious treasure, this holy, blameless, powerful thing that we are, beloved of you. May we walk in that revelation today and in the authority of that today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The word church comes from the Greek word ecclesia. Ecclesia speaks about a gathering, an assembly of believers, meaning church is not a place, but it's an assembly of believers. Church isn't really about where, it's about who. It's something that we're part of, not something that we go to. You and I are called to be the church. The purpose of the church, first of all, is to minister unto God. That's why we gather. That's why we praise. That's why we bless the name of the Lord. That's why we open up our services with songs of praise and worship every week. We're worshiping our God. We're praising our God. We're blessing God, and it changes things in our life.
Amen.
But also, ecclesia, the church, is also a ministry to the world. So when we gather on Sunday, or we come to a leadership class on Tuesday night, or a marriage teaching on Wednesday night, or even a prayer meeting on Wednesday at lunchtime, or again, Pastor Morgan will be here tomorrow night for our college age and upper teenage service. And man, we're just believing for great things with that, reaching especially this college-age community that's all around us in this city. Amen. But we gather on Sundays, then we're supposed to scatter the rest of the week where we're supposed to be the church. In other words, church didn't end on the last amen, and when I give the benediction and we all say, "I love you," and we go about our merry ways, that's when church really begins. It's us being the body. I mean, we don't cease being the body of Christ. We don't cease being the bride of Christ when we leave out through the doors, when we go out through the exit in just a little while. At work, at school, in our neighborhood. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, "And I say to you, Peter, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell, the gates of Hades, shall not prevail against it. I love the idea that we're supposed to be part of this progressive, and I almost would use the word aggressive, church that we're literally rescuing people from hell. And most of those people didn't show up at church this morning. Look, there's not much gates of hell coming against us in the room right now. I know whatever your philosophy might be, I know, you know, the devil goes to church and all of that, but you're pretty safe right now. You're about as safe as it could get, all right? You're surrounded with people who love you. We're in the presence of God, but walk out those doors. That's where the gates of hell are, and the church, come on somebody, will prevail against the gates of hell. We should count it a great privilege that we're part of something that big and that important. Do you understand? We are God's only plan.
Yes.
For planet Earth right now. The church is it. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. We have different metaphors for church. Of course, we have the body of Christ. And we understand that whole metaphor. We understand that we're individual members of Christ's body. The eye can't say to the ear, I have no need of you. We need one another. We have different giftings and so forth. But I want to hone in on this idea that we're the bride of Christ. Why is the church called the bride? Now, I feel like I'm here today with you know, at least my right arm missing, you know, because Michelle never is sick, but she's homesick and has been sick for several days. So she just needs to get better. She's probably watching right now. Hi, honey. But we've been married for 35 years. In December, we celebrated our 35th wedding anniversary. I know I look way too young to have been married 35 years, but I was 12. Not really, I was 19 when I got married. And Michelle was really 18, and that's just a whole other subject, all right? But it would be complete. I want you to think about this. How many of you have ever heard this? I really love Jesus, but I hate the church. You heard that? I've heard that. I love God, but I just don't like his church that much. Now, I want you to get a different perspective of that so that I hope that you would never be party to such conversation. Because we are called the bride of Christ. Okay, so it's equally absurd for you to say, I love Jesus, but I hate the church. As to say, you know, I love Pastor Stan, but boy, that Michelle, there's something about her I don't like. You follow me? You can't separate me from Michelle. So, you know, you can compliment me and say something derogatory about my wife, but you might as well just slap me upside the head, your own self. I don't care what you said about me. You're talking about my bride now. Come on.
Amen.
And I'm just not going to tolerate that.
That's right.
I mean, what kind of man would I be to allow you to say, well, I like you, but I don't like your wife? You know, I can be around you, but I can't tolerate her. I don't have anything to do with her. Well, you know what? If you get me, you get her. I mean, the two became one flesh. So if you get Jesus, you get the church. We are the bride of Christ. Now, in the marriage teaching last night, one of the things that you know, if you're going to have a great marriage, you can't focus on what's wrong. Oh, that's easy, man. I mean, if you want to focus on what's wrong with me, I mean, you can pick all day long and find a reason to have a problem with me. All right, if you're my spouse, and you're not. All right, but you know what? That's not going to lead to a happy marriage, is it? So we got to look at the things that are right. We got to look at the things that are right, and let's work on some of our blemishes. This is no excuse for bad church.
That's right.
This is no excuse for a bad presentation of Jesus in our community. But I want you to get a different idea. I mean, people say I love Jesus, but not the church. But that's a big problem for Jesus. Out of all the things that we could be likened to, we're the bride of Christ.
That's right.
We're the bride of Christ. It's the type of relationship Jesus wants with the church. It's a metaphor. Think about, of all the relationships on earth, marriage is the most intimate. It's the closest. It's the one thing that the Bible says, look, when I'm talking about husbands and wives, Paul, we use it all the time talking to husbands and wives, but Paul very clearly said, I'm not even addressing the subject of natural human marriage. I'm talking about Christ and the church in this passage. I'm talking about Christ and the church. The church is full of hypocrites. You ever heard that? But so is the place of your work. So is the school. So is the government. So is everywhere every human being goes. Because we're hypocrites. We say things and do something else.
Right.
We believe something and sometimes then we fall short. Come on. If there's human beings involved somewhere, then there's going to be hypocrites there. But that's no excuse to not have a good attitude towards Christ's bride.
Right.
And there's always room for one more. So welcome to the family. Wrong-headed people will say that we, Christ's bride, are not worthy of our husband. We love Jesus, but we just don't like the church. But Jesus is proud of us. Jesus loves us. How many of you just admit there was kind of the dating version of you and then the real you? Okay? Alright, I'm not trying to sort of pick a fight with your marriage, okay? I'm just saying, like, what happened to Mr. Charming? You know? Okay. Life happens, that's true. You have to start paying bills, you have to start correcting children, you have to, you know. How many of you believe this is true? There's sort of like a church version of people and then the real version of people. That's kind of the hypocrisy, right? That one way at church, but then, man, you know, they'll cheat you in business or they'll whatever. Right? Can I tell you that Jesus loves the real you, not the Sunday school version of you? He knows everything about you and loves you anyway. Man, Michelle knows everything about me and loves me anyway, right, honey? Jesus says to you, I love you. I want to know the real you. I don't mean the church version of you. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Paul said, He gave himself, Christ gave himself up for her that we might be holy and blameless, blemish-free, wrinkle-free, pure bride of Christ. You know, we started this teaching this morning with verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands. It's like, oh man, you know, women brace against that. Can I tell you a story? I've done every kind of wedding. I've done cowboy weddings. I've done in-home, real simple weddings. I've done beautiful outside weddings, you know, on somebody's property. Our Cameron pastor, Mike and his wife, her family has this really nice lake, and they set up this beautiful setting, brought out chairs by the lake. Beautiful, beautiful wedding, and, you know, fireworks were being released after they said I did. It was just like magical. But then I did kind of a little bit more of an outlaw biker wedding. It was the spring fling at Roach Lake. Now Roach Lake is just as disgusting as it sounds, all right? I mean, it's a very apt name. It's more of a glorified mudhole. I mean, it is just like, we used to water ski in this thing, but I don't think you could even drop a prop down in that thing. Now, it needs to be dredged. I mean, it is just so full of mud, but that's where they have this, and, you know, they're out there doing all their motorcycle games. It seems like, you know, like reindeer games. I mean, you know, they're, you know, all, I'm not a motorcycle guy. But everybody was in their leathers, everybody was wearing their color, everything, you know. And so, but this couple, and you know, he's got a nose ring, and you know, they're the real deal, okay? These aren't just kind of, you know, dentists that ride a motorcycle on the weekend, okay? This is like their persona, right? So I'm getting up there, and this little couple, I mean, again, they're dressed in their leathers, and they, I mean, they're actual real deal motorcycle people, all right? In fact, I got a text this morning from one of that group, you know, said, Pastor, you got to help me with my husband, and seriously, I said, as soon as church is over, man, I'll check on your husband. I can't take care of it right now. But you know, every group has a little different thing, you know? And these guys are a little more severe. I'll never forget this. How many of you know there's some motorcycle mamas that you ought to be afraid of?
Oh, yeah.
Okay? And there was plenty of them around. And I'm just a little, you know, and I decided, okay, I can dress a cowboy. I got that, you know. I can dress up. I bought a tuxedo years ago. And so I can, you know, it's like $100. You can't even rent one for that. So, I mean, I've got clothes or anything, but I don't have motorcycle gear, so I just have to come as Pastor Stan. I just have to come as me. So I'm standing there. I'm the only guy not dressed the part, okay? This whole place, it was muddy, and they set up this little place to get married. And so I'm getting up there, and we're up there. Little couples, I mean, they're serious, okay? They're serious. It's just their thing. Okay? They wanted all their friends to be there for their wedding. Okay? I mean, she probably had, you know, three different color to her hair. I mean, the whole deal. Okay? And I get up and I'm ready to start this ceremony. Ready to start. And this motorcycle mama shouts out really loud, "You're not going to say obey, are you?" I don't know. The Spirit of God came all over me. I said, "I need you to shut up right now." Like, oh my gosh, I'm taking the black moment. I said, "You know what? This couple up here is getting married, and they're serious about it, and they don't want you shouting out all during the ceremony. I need you to be quiet." I backed off a little bit. See? So I thought, "Oh my gosh, what did I do? She's gonna shake me, you know? I'm gonna get this car as fast as I can, you know." You know, we get all uptight about this whole submit thing. Right? I mean, some do. It doesn't say women are, you know, to submit to all men. But it says that wives submit to your husbands. Well, we're talking about a metaphor of Christ and the church here. Now, what about Jesus wouldn't you submit to? But can I tell you, there's all kinds of people that are part of the bride of Christ that are not fully submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ in every area of their life. But it also says, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. You know, I don't really know, as I'm reading through here, who has the greater assignment. Michelle submitting to my leadership, or me just laying down my life completely for her. Are you following me? I mean, the submission really goes both directions if you really want to look at it, because I'm called to completely surrender my will and my life on behalf of my bride. Isn't that what Jesus did for us?
Amen.
Either way, we both have a responsibility here. The question is, ladies, can you be a girl who's worth dying for? And men, can you be a man who's worth submitting to?
Yeah.
Let me just say something about this whole, I like Jesus, but not the church. I love Jesus, but not the church. Look, if you come to bring harm to my bride, I'm going to be prepared for you.
Amen.
I'm at least going to go down swinging.
There you go.
I mean, even when the kids were little, I got one of mine here playing the drums today, singing today. You know, but they were more disrespectful to me, because that's just being the dad, right? Come on. But if they were ever disrespectful to their mother, you know, first of all, she's my bride before she was your mother, and I just don't let people talk to my bride that way. Are you following me? I'm telling you, the way Christ loves us is, and what Jesus thinks about us, it is a lot different than maybe what we think about ourselves sometimes or our fellow members of the body of Christ. Michelle is my responsibility. I will do anything that I need to do, even die for her if I have to.
Amen.
You see, that's how much God loves you. How many times has Jesus stepped into the gap for you? Maybe you didn't even know it.
Yeah.
It's really not until we get to see Jesus face to face that we're really going to find out some of those things, right?
Right.
But let's be honest. I don't want to look around the room and I don't want to point any fingers. But have you ever just looked at a couple and thought, you know, it's like Sesame Street. Something doesn't belong here, right? Something's just, like, you think, wow, how did she end up with him? You ever thought that? Come on, let's be real. Just nod at me, nod at me. Don't look at anybody. Just nod at me, all right? And you thought, I'm not getting this, okay? Like, how did she end up with him? Come on. I know you thought that, right? You've met that couple. You know that couple. You might even be friends with that couple right now, okay? And then really, if you're really, really good friends, you go, dude, you married so way above your head, right? And that guy goes, yeah, don't tell her. I mean, for some reason she doesn't know. Right? That's us.
Yeah.
If we're the bride of Christ, man, we married up, didn't we?
Yeah.
I mean, we got way better than we deserved, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Way better. And the fact of the matter is this. We're chosen.
Yeah.
Man, this isn't just, come on, this isn't just an arranged marriage. Jesus got stuck with us.
Pretty much.
No, read Ephesians 1. Before the foundations of the earth, he chose us and accepted us. Man, he didn't just get stuck with you and me. He chose you and me. He chose us.
Amen.
Then he protects us. He does everything he can to promote us and make us better. Yeah, Jesus is out of our league, but he chose us anyway. Paul went on to write, at an appointed time, a man shall leave his mother and father and shall be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm actually talking about Christ and the church. So, man, when you pray, come on. The husband and wife leave father and mother. They cleave to each other. And what happens? This mysterious thing happens. We become one flesh. And this isn't the only place it talks about this one flesh thing, right? From the beginning of time. It's in the gospel. It's in the gospels. It's right here in our text today. The two shall become one flesh. Because listen, it'll change your prayer life. So when God hears your prayers, come on, you're united with Jesus. The two have become one flesh.
Yes.
You come into the presence of God without any guilt, without any shame, without any embarrassment, as if sin never existed in your life. It's justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're completely righteous. You're completely holy. You're completely acceptable. You're completely blameless in the sight of God, because when God sees you, he sees Jesus. We're the bride of Christ. We become one flesh with our bridegroom. That will cause your prayers to be with much more authority, much more boldness. That's why James says that the prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective.
Amen.
We've honed in on the wrong part of James 5:16. I don't even know, in the King James Version it says the effective fervent, the fervent prayers of the righteous. I don't know where the whole word fervent really came from there, because the emphasis is not on how fervent your prayers are. The emphasis is on how righteous you are. And you're not righteous because of your fervency. You're not righteous because of you've done everything right. Come on, you're not righteous because of all your good deeds. And there's a place for good deeds. In fact, I've got a message coming up right away about that. But you are right with God because of 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin became sin for you so that you could become the righteousness of God in him.
Amen.
Your prayers are powerful and effective because you are Christ's bride. And you become one flesh with him. That's where the analogy, that's where the metaphor, the body of Christ even takes greater meaning and purpose. As the bride of Christ, we have rights. We have authority. We have provision. Everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to us. One of the things, again, I taught in the marriage course last night. Come on, when you get married, you become one. That means everything that I have belongs to Michelle. Everything that she has belongs to me. Everything that Jesus has belongs to me. Everything that Jesus... I'm not begging and pleading as an outsider. I'm not begging and pleading as a slave. I used to be a slave to sin, but Romans 6 says I'm now a slave to righteousness.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm the bride of Christ. Man, Michelle's not begging and pleading things for me. Her name's on the account. If she needs it, she writes the check. Come on, somebody.
Yeah, that's it.
It's time for us to rise up as the true bride of Christ that we are, that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. It's time to stop running down the church because you're running down yourself. So we are the bride of Christ. It's time to rise up like never before. I know that God has done amazing things in the past, but I actually believe the best is still yet to come. But let's not so get lost in doing church that we remember that we are the church. We are the ecclesia. I wanted to establish this idea in you of who you are in Christ Jesus. We're Christ's bride. But what is marriage? It's a commitment. We use words like for better, for worse, richer and poorer, till death do us part. Marriage is about giving and receiving. Look, I can fix every marriage, but it's going to take both of you. And so often one of you comes to see me to fix a marriage. If one of you comes to see me, can't do much. So it's a giving and receiving, right? So there's a giving and receiving. So if we're the bride of Christ, we can't just always be on the receiving end. We can't always be what's in it for me. Because that attitude doesn't work in marriages. Marriages break down if there's not reciprocation.
That's right.
If you know, it's not a 50-50 thing. Oh, I'll do my part, you do your part. No, if a marriage is going to work, it's 100%, 100%. It's all of me and all of you, and we're in this together. And I'm telling you, it's just time for some people to rise up and be the bride of Christ. In the commitment part, in the doing part, in the active part. Any relationship that does not have this reciprocation will not last. So if we treat church like a buffet and say, well, you know, I'll take some of this. I'll take some of that. I don't like that. I don't do that. You know, come on. I don't do dishes. I don't clean. I don't do laundry. Well, somebody's got to. I mean, somebody has to.
Right.
Or it piles up, you know. I mean, it doesn't do itself. So you know, I eat, you know, at least once every day. At least, you say, at least. But I'm telling you, people treat this relationship with Jesus like it's just all about me. And what have you got for me today, Jesus? Man, that's not understanding who you are as the bride of Christ. Before long, come on. Before long, if we just fix ourselves a really nice plate and no one's replenishing the buffet, we're going to run out of food. Now, again, I'm not really talking about works today. I'm just talking about commitment. I'm talking about taking ownership of our role as the bride of Christ. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some, but exhorting one another. And so much more as we see the day of the Lord approaching. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. We have a responsibility to one another. Love and good works don't just happen. They happen on purpose. They have to be stirred up. The church is where we do that. The church is how we're doing that. The Greek word here for stir up is a really kind of disgusting word. It's a convulsion. It's you know, in this context, it's messy. If we're going to stir each other up, have you watched those cooking shows? I don't know why I watch cooking shows because I don't cook. I like to eat. I'm like, well, you know, if somebody picks that for me, that'd be really good. Now, everybody else in my family cooks, mostly. But I mean, and they're really good at it. And you know, Lane and I last night, because Michelle's not with us, and, you know, we thought, what are we going to eat? Well, let's just go. Let's get pizza or something. But no, Lane said, no, we got some chicken in here, and I'll get some spices, and I'll get some, you know, Frank's Red Hot, and boom, and, you know. It was good. But you know, there's some mess to that. It has to be stirred up. You know, I like those chefs when they're dumping in all the ingredients and everything. You know, they put on the gloves and then they just get in there and they stir it up. So not everything about being the bride of Christ is just real neat and clean and just, come on. I mean, if we're really going to storm the gates of hell, prevail against the onslaught of the enemy, it is going to be just a little bit messy sometimes because we got to stir each other up. We got to provoke one another every once in a while. Every once in a while, we got to be close enough to each other and say, hey, what's going on with you? Why aren't you in the game? Why are you sitting on the sidelines? I mean, we need you. You're an important part of the bride, the body of Christ, and we need you to be actively engaged in what you're doing because, you know, hell's taking over a little bit more. And we need to push this thing back a little bit. And we are God's only plan for humanity. We're it.
Right.
The body of Christ, the bride of Christ. We're it. We're his only plan. Can I just tell you, you being here today makes a huge difference? I mean, you just being here. I mean, number one, if you're going to be the bride of Christ, man, show up every time you can. It does something to me. It does something to other people. I mean, I'm looking around missing people today. How about you? Already. We've just gotten started. I'm thinking, oh, man, I know they live down that gravel road, but, man, that's why I was praying so hard that we could just avoid this for at least 5 more hours. But we didn't. You know what I mean? And just the threat of it kept people away. I mean, it's like, I didn't get to see so-and-so today. I didn't get to see that. I mean, it makes a difference in my life when you're here and for each other. And you're thinking about people that ought to be here that haven't come yet, right?
Right.
How many of you already think about somebody that ought to be here? We're the bride of Christ. We do have some responsibilities that go along with that. It's an enormous privilege, yes. But the church is the body of Christ, a living spiritual organism through which Christ reveals himself and accomplishes his purposes in the world. Now that sounds like a big deal to me. We are the place, we are it, where Jesus reveals himself to the world and fulfills his purposes on planet Earth. That's a huge, huge deal. No one else is doing it. We're it. It's our responsibility to accomplish God's purposes in the world. Let's own this thing. Let's do this thing.